It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, May 12th, 2023. Well, the saga of the bulk carrier C.L. Lindy has finally come to an end at the Port of Astoria, and a lot of entertainment for us locals while she was here. And I thought today that I would tie up a few loose ends with regard to this situation and answer a few questions for folks. I got a bunch of questions on my Ship Report Facebook page, and some of those questions were the same questions from various different people. So I thought I'd answer them all at once here, as many as I could find when I did a run-through on all the posts that I've posted about this topic. So let me just go through the questions I found, and I hope this answers your questions if you still have some about this situation. First of all, why was the ship at the Port of Astoria to begin with? Now, the C.L. Lindy was a bulk carrier carrying big wind turbine blades on board. She was sitting at the port for about a week. And I explained the situation in depth in an earlier Ship Report podcast, a couple of them actually, which you can find on my website at shipreport.net. Just look on the homepage under Ship Report Podcasts and you'll see there are a couple of them that will explain to you if you want to know all the gory details about it. But the short answer is that some of the cargo on the ship was causing visibility issues for the Columbia River pilots on the inland leg of the ship's journey from Astoria to Longview. Now, Longview was the original destination for this cargo and where it ultimately went. So the ship was detained in Astoria until they could resolve the visibility issue by removing some of her cargo from the ship. Another question, what was the reason to take the blades off the ship and transport them this way? Well, as I said, they were blocking the view from the bridge, and putting them on a barge was the most economical and safest way to transport them. Another theoretical option might have been to move them by truck, but that would have been much more expensive and disruptive for local traffic and perhaps not even doable since these huge cargoes do not handle curvy roads very well and each blade would have to have gone on a separate truck. Another question, where did the ship come from? It arrived here from China and people were asking where were the blades made. I'm not completely sure. I can't say for sure they were manufactured in China, but they may have been. More about the blades. How many blades on the ship? Well, I counted 36 blades on the ship when I stopped and counted one day, so that's my best guess. And why were there only blades on this ship? Well, first of all, we have no idea whether there is more and different energy equipment below decks on the ship. And we've often seen ships like this coming in to the river carrying a mix of blades and other parts of wind turbine assemblies. There are parts called nacelles, which are much smaller and compact in shape and could potentially fit in the cargo hold of a ship like this. There are also support assemblies that look like long tubes, and those are generally transported on deck. So ultimately, six of the blades were moved to a barge for transport to Longview, accompanied by two tugboats. Now, according to the Port of Astoria, each blade is over 170 feet long, and each one weighs as much as a loaded log truck. So, very heavy, very fragile, and handled with great care by the very skilled folks who moved them from the ship to the barge without incident. So while I know we were all talking about how weird it was that the ship was here and how long she would be here and all that, but we were actually witnessing some pretty amazing cargo handling of a very fragile, massive, and expensive cargo. Why did the ship stay so long in Astoria? Well, the ship had to wait for tugs and a barge to arrive, and that happened rather quickly. But then they discovered that there were mechanical issues with the crane equipment on the ship. Things were broken, and they needed those cranes to move the blades ultimately. And so that situation took several days to repair and resolve. Someone commented that it was nice to see cargo being handled at the Port of Astoria again. Yes, that's true. But this was a one-off situation and is not part of a regular arrangement for cargo transfer at the port here. Another question, where did the ship and barge go when it left Astoria? Both went to Longview. The C.L. Lindy left about noontime yesterday, and the tugs and barge a little while later. They were about, I'll estimate, maybe an hour apart on the river. Where will the cargo go after it gets to Longview? Well, I'm not completely sure, but comments from several Ship Report listeners on Facebook and also news reports that I researched point toward these blades possibly being put on barges for transport upriver to Lewiston, Idaho, after which they could be transported to Canada by truck to wind farms there. Other news reports show that wind energy equipment brought in on the Columbia also goes to wind farms in the inland Pacific Northwest here in the U.S. Will this happen again, the situation that the C.L. Lindy being at the port having cargo moved for visibility issues? I honestly don't know. This type of cargo snafu was the subject of a U.S. Coast Guard Marine Safety Bulletin issued in early April, warning the professional maritime community about bulk carriers arriving in the U.S. with wind turbine parts on board, stowed in a, quote, manner that substantially limits visibility from the bridge, close quote. So the U.S. Coast Guard and our local marine pilots have been on the lookout for this problem. So if another ship arrives in this condition, it could mean the same procedure. Now, this ship arrived here about a week ago, and since then, lots of people in various vessels have been working to get this situation resolved. I have no idea how much the whole stay over at the port has cost, but when you consider they're paying for dock space, tug and barge services and staff, pilotage services and other costs, that has to add up. I know lots of money changes hands in the maritime industry overall on a level that most of us can't really fathom because costs are very high for things like fuel. But one can only hope that this delay has made the shipper in this case think twice about sending a ship overloaded like this here again. But to be honest, I really have no idea whether this will happen again, so we'll just have to see. It's certainly given us locals something to look at for the past few days, and it's been fun for those of us who are ship watchers. And I also would like to say hats off to all of the skilled mariners who made this happen and for the revenue this situation may have brought to local workers and their families. You've been listening to The Ship Report, show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. I hear the weather's going to be great. And if you'd like to see today's ship schedule, you can find it as usual on my website at shipreport.net, along with a podcast of this program. I also post a link to the ship schedule and to podcasts on my Ship Report Facebook page.